Okay, well, good evening, everybody. Auntie Ann is going to take the lead, so I get to sit back and catch the recording. I want to remind everybody, star six when you're ready to talk only. So, because that way, if you're in an area where there's background noise or there's crumpling of paper, we like that, but we don't want to have to hear it. And then also, if you do not have my email address, I really, truly need you to write this email down, because I would like you, I'm stepping out on a limb here, but I would like you to email me your elevator speech by next Tuesday. Okay? We don't have to share them tonight. If somebody feels led to do that, go for it. But by next Tuesday, I'd like them to be emailed to me at V as in Vance, S as in Stacy, Rogers, 995@gmail.com. That's VSROGERS, 995@gmail.com. And by then as well, you should be sharing your elevator speech with your business buddy and asking them for input. Not criticism, but input. How do you tweak it? How do you make it better? How do you give it some punch? And all that kind of stuff. So, lesson number three. Auntie Ann, are you ready to have some fun and rock and roll?
I sure am.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you take the lead, but before you do that, I just want to share my takeaway from lesson three is get a new map. That's it for me. Four words. And
well,
it's all
thanks,
yours.
Sam. I guess he's referring to a new map of how to run the business or of our life. So thank you, Vance, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to facilitate lesson three, which is business by principle. So I just want to start out with my background as a teacher, principal with my PAL, P-A-L. This is a different principal. And I was thinking after I had read lesson three and listened to lesson three again, that I was thinking about John Locke and Tabula Rosa, which is basically a blank slate that we're all come to Nikan not knowing what it's about. And sometimes when we approach people, we might put some things on their plate that they don't have. We might prejudge. And so that's what I got out of the lesson, not to prejudge anyone, to just listen, hear what they need, and then present. And we are creating our reality that way. So I would love for everyone to share what they got out of it. And if you could just unmute and give us a word or two about what you learned from lesson three. Who wants to go first?
This is Ron in Michigan.
Hey, Ron.
Hi. My bunch of takeaways, but the one I'll share here is similar to yours, actually. Have a routine in place or a habit for identifying someone's why before you're offering your benefit or what you think, you know, would benefit them or I also have my wife here, Renee.
Okay.
She said, we are not only manifesting that which we want to create in our own life when we share Nikan, we are the agents of manifesting into the reality of another's life. So take care to do so with the good character of an Nikan attitude.
Hey, that's great. Thank you.
Hi, this is Elaine in Provo, Utah. And this follows what he just said. This came from the 32-minute talk by Marty Jeffries. and William Todd started it also. But I loved their image. He said, what we're doing is like showing people a storefront. We're showing them something to create a new idea in their mind, as if someone were window shopping. And then he was saying, the storefront reflects what they want. It reflects what they need.
Yeah, like a mirror. Thank you, Elaine.
Right.
Awesome.
Rita, New Hampshire.
Hey, Rita.
On the same lines, understand their why first, and then try to meet their needs. And also, our thoughts cause our reality.
Well, thank you. I want to go back to something Ron said about creating a way to find out their needs. Does anyone have, I know we were using the SAQ, some of us that were in on the early years or the early parts of ICANN, but has anyone thought of a unique way to encourage or to find out their why? Can anyone share that?
Well, this is Ron again. I like the Michael DiMuccio way of just asking about the five pillars. What one of, what two of those five stand out to you? Healthy body, healthy mind, family, society, finances. So open up a conversation.
That's great. I use that too. Anyone else?
This is Karen, and if I can tag on that one, there is a self-assessment for the five pillars. And I like using that to find out where they stand on each pillar. It's a visual for each of them. And it helps them visualize and see and be aware of where their lowest pillar or pillars are. And then I can explain that if one pillar is low, what happens to the other ones. And I don't tell them. I ask them that question so that it actually brings it to the forefront of their mind instead of basically in their subconscious or unconscious mind.
You said that there's a visual?
They can visualize where they are.
Oh, okay.
It's a self-assessment. It's a self-assessment that is actually on paper. It's on print, and I have that. And so I have them rate themselves as to where they stand on each pillar.
Steve, would you be able to share that with Vance, and maybe we can send that along to us? Would you be kind enough to do that?
Already did.
Oh, awesome. I would love to see that. Thank you, Karen. I'd love to see that tool.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I, as long as I'm unmuted, I will go ahead and Auntie Anne, mine was pretty much identical to yours. Listen, listen with my heart instead of prejudging with my mind.
Mm. Great. Well, thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
This is Andy.
Hello?
We have Sandy and Andy.
Oh. Go ahead, Sandy.
Okay.
Sandy, go for it.
I have this underlined in several different colors, so apparently it has a lot of meaning for me. Learning to limit our talk, listen, and truly understand what they are saying.
Limit the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt that way.
I have too much enthusiasm and probably go on way too long.
Yeah, but I don't know. They can certainly sense your enthusiasm. I know that one of the parts of the lesson was by our body language, and I guess if we can exhume our enthusiasm that way and limit our talk, maybe we've got the best of both worlds.
There you go.
Thank you, Sandy. Now I got my business buddy on here. Andy, go for it.
Yeah, thanks, Ann. What I really got from it, the more, as I get older, the thing I find out is to speak more in bullet points, keep it simple. And it's in regards to the elevator speech, and basically it's simply what we were like, what happened, and what we are like now. And through that, our goal is to create a need for them to know more.
Yeah.
But it's just real simple. And like I say, all the people in business I've been in all these years, 40-some years, the superstars were those that actively listened, and that's the key.
Yeah, because people like to talk about themselves, so if we can limit our talk, then they'll spill their guts, maybe.
And one more thing on that regard, we never know how much time we have with them, and if we get too busy doing all that, people only have so much mental energy and so much attention span, and we can waste precious time going on and on. So it's nice to be friendly. I'm a real friendly guy, but we just need to keep it short and simple and let them talk. And that's fun. Find out about them. I love to hear stories.
Well, thank you, Andy. Who else do we have on tonight?
This
Norma
is Jerry.
I do two things. I also have a little chart that I give my customers or clients or prospects, and it's the five pillars. But I say we have 100 points, and you got to split it up between all five. So where do they, where do they stand on each area? That's kind of one of the guidelines that I use. But as far as my takedown, it says to slow down, listen, discover how or what I have to help them.
Well, thank you. Now, who was this speaking? Because I love your percentages idea. But who, I didn't catch your name.
Norma, Missouri.
Oh, Norma. Yeah. Excellent idea. Yeah, so people, because people even tell you how much they hurt. Or, oh, it's 10% this or 20%. People can understand that. I like that very much. Thank you. All right, Gary. Is this Gary
yes.
from Portland, my side
yes.
of the world?
That's right, Auntie Ann. So I want to piggyback on the business buddy. I spoke with Elaine today, and I shared this with her. So I have a need that is a precursor to the elevator speech, and that's where I'm looking for a handle in terms of what it is we do. If somebody says, I'm a teacher, we have a sense of that. Or I'm a doctor, we know what that is. So this past week, there was a debate for our mayor, and there was a 1,000 people in this auditorium for a breakfast. I went up to a person that I had known about 20 years ago in the insurance world, and he says to me, Gary, what are you doing these days? And before I could do my elevator speech, I was searching for a handle of what I could say that would have meaning for him. And so that's what I'm struggling with. So my takeaway is finding a further need. So if,
wow.
if anybody has any suggestions.
Could I make a point on that?
Go for it.
This is Andy. What I'd like to say is, people say, what are you doing? I says, I've been retired now for a year and a half. And they say, what's up? And I says, well, now I'm doing my passion. And then they are keenly interested in what that is. And that's a nice segue into it. And, that's what I tell them. I'm doing my passion.
Thank you.
And my passion happens to be, and hopefully that's helping.
Anyone else have an idea to help identify the handle? I have something that I stole from Dave Johnson. You
okay.
can say, what am I doing? I'm in my encore career. And I've been using that and using that and using that. And then they want to know, what's the encore career? And then I can go into this elevator speech or one of the elevator speeches, because we have an arsenal of them that, you know,
yes,
really good. Sometimes I use somebody else's elevator speech if it's late. But Dave Johnson used that, and I just think it sounds cool.
Good. Thank you. I like that.
Anyone else? Anyone else can share what they say to get into the elevator speech?
Hi, Anne. This is Jeannie from Phoenix. I was listening to the leadership call this morning Mike DiNuccio did, and he said something like, have you ever heard of the concept called the five pillars of health? And I just thought that was really, really cool, because people can say yes or no, you know, or what is that? And then you could go into a story, your product story, or one of the five pillars, perhaps. So I'm going to work one of those into my elevator speech, too. I'm going to work on that one. I thought it was kind of cool.
Cool.
And my... Yeah. He was talking about, you know, when people say, well, I'm doing NECAN, that doesn't mean anything to anybody, and or they might have a concept in their minds, but with the five pillars, body, mind, family, you know, that's his why. You'll find out, you know, the why that way. So anyway, I'm still pondering on that one. I thought it was great. And humans being more, and, you know, the whole thing. My takeaway from this lesson was to suspend judgment and just listen. And so, you know, in that instance with, was that Gary?
Yes.
Sometimes, when it's like out of the blue, what do? And you haven't really talked to him in a long time. I think that I might want to say something like, you know what, we need to catch up. Why don't we have a coffee appointment, you know, and kind of defer it to another time or something if possible. You know?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks, Auntie Anne.
Well, thank you, buddy. We still have people on the line, but what I would love in this little inter... Oh, what we got? Go ahead, Pat.
No, it's Lucretia. How are you?
Great, Lucretia. Thank you.
Good. So I was just going to touch bases on what everybody else was saying, which is kind of like just creating and recreating a lifestyle change in humans being more through the five pillars of health. And then it opens up the door when they say, well, what is the five pillars of health? And then you can kind of touch on it. And you can utilize the five pillars of health to figure out their what and their why, you know, in a combination. And then that's how we manifest in helping others recreate their lifestyle. Love thy neighbor.
Well done. Is there someone else who would like to share what they got out of lesson
three? Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Sue.
I do want to echo pretty much everyone else's, and the three words that came to mind were listen, learn, and love. So, you know, by listening, you learn about what they need, and someone else mentioned about listening with an open heart, so you really can care about the person and help them find out what they're looking for. But the other thing that I wanted to throw out was Marty talks about whatever our elevator speech is, and that the only person that's really tired of hearing it is ourselves. So, you know, I know that I started this business over 20 years ago, and yes, I've heard my story many, many times, but every time I tell it, people's eyes, you know, get wide open. So, you know, I think that's a good reminder, is that to keep sharing the story. And I love the idea of integrating the five pillars into that story, too.
Well, thank you, Susanna. And you're one of the ones whose story I use. I I mean, it sounds horrible, but I like to tell the story how you broke your neck and how you feel better and how you've helped so many other people feel better as a result. So it was a horrible thing that happened, but you turned it, you know, you made lemonade as usual. So you took a bad situation and turned it into a very good one and had such impact for the rest of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have someone else out there that would like to share what they learned from lesson three?
Hi, this is Catherine from Santa Cruz, and
oh.
I just wanted to say hi to my business buddy, Lucretia. I also, one of the things that really struck me was the story in there about the Dragon's Den and the challenge to the participants about what's your proof of concept. And I think the reason that that struck me, and this is something that I'm sort of, I don't know, struggling might be too big of a word, but just trying to figure out how to handle. It's a lot of myself and many members of my family come from a very strong science background. And just because of the way that, you know, Neekin is in this whole dance with the American, you know, government, the FDA and so forth, we have to be careful with our language. So we don't have a lot of stats and data about products. And so anyway, you know, the whole proof of concept and then people who come at things from a very strong scientific background. Anyway, it's not three words. I apologize. It's not three words, but it's something that's part of my quest. How do I overcome what I perceive to be the resistance from people who are oriented that way? And I think maybe part of the solution is just to acknowledge, hey, you know, if the forms of treatment that you've sought, you know, from whatever allopathic tradition or whatever, if they're not working for you, maybe if you could, you know, if you'd be willing to open your mind a bit and just consider taking baby steps in this direction, that it just, you know, empirically experience what it does for you. And anyway, I've rattled on for too long, but thank you.
But thank you, and you bring up a point. You know, Hippocrates, who's the father of modern medicine, said, let food be your medicine. And in Neekin, we not only feed with nutritionals, but we feed with alkalized pure water, and we feed our minds and we feed our body with good sleep. So, you know, you can point to many, many scientific research, much scientific research, but the proof is in the pudding, and until people try it. We had a young woman that was on a call just earlier tonight who was in medical school, and she is blown away. She's studying to be an OBGYN, and she was blown away by the water. And she said, this is what she's learning about water in her medical school classes, in her biology classes. So, you know, you're going to have resistance from people, whether they're scientists or not, but the basic thing is if they're open. And that's one thing, you know, you got to be open. So I've gone on too long. I would love someone to come up and recite, if they would, the second mantra. Would someone be able to do that by memory?
Could I inject something real quick? This is Norma.
Sure.
Okay. You were talking about the scientific ideas or the products. Brody does a very good job on Thursday nights doing the background research on most of our products. And he also records them where you can re-listen to them also. So he's a very good reference person.
Who is it?
Thank you. Brody Craney Thursday night.
Thank you.
Norma, since you're on the line.
Yes.
How about the exciting lunch of two for us? You know, I was a school teacher, so I call on people.
Okay. I don't memorize everything exactly like it says, but if this is the one I'm thinking about, hold on. I used to close my eyes when I was in therapy, getting my body stretched out, and, you know, our life is a manifest. What is it? We do, hold on. You don't got to start off in front of me now. My I can't attitude.
It's about choosing words.
Choosing words that informing my, the words actually, what they do is they attract those and they maintain them and, they acquire my attract and maintain my customers if I choose my words correctly.
Okay. All right. You kind of just did a little bit of...
I rambled it, but that's a thought of it.
But that's okay. I choose my words carefully, right? Very
yes.
Carefully. Okay. Would anyone else like to contribute tonight for lessons to read?
This is Larry Hafner in Portland. Can you hear me?
Yes, Larry. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to say hello to Steve, my buddy that I have not made contact with this week. We have been trying. I hope he's on. Anyway, the thing that I was going to say is that caught me on this lesson was don't answer questions that aren't asked. And then ask yourself this question, why does this person need us? And that's been a tough one for me because I've been in the business quite a while, and when I invite somebody out, I've kind of fell into the habit, and I've got to break it, I think, of showing too many things. And I do try to determine what the need is, but once in a while, you know, you can't really find the hot button. You know, you're looking for it, but they're not saying anything. And, of course, initially I was looking for a lot of people who are looking for a problem to solve, and I finally got over that issue and realizing that not everybody has a problem to solve. You know, it might be an attitude about just how they live their lifestyle. And so I guess my question is, it is kind of a question to the group, is how would you, I know what demos work well for me, but would you limit the number of demos, or if you couldn't find a reason to show that night, just eliminate that? What would you suggest on that?
Larry, I have a suggestion for you. This is Gary and the other Portland. Heather Locke talks about how our body is 75% water. So if you're not really hitting on anything, say if you really want to address any health issues, start with our water. You will have covered 75% of the issues because we're 75% water. And then
that's a really good suggestion. And I would assume you would still try to show one of the magnetic products and how it helps weight balance or strength. Has anybody ever used the strength ones with the vitamins? Holding them in your hand, set them in your hand or something like that. Because the reason I bring this up is because this particular statement on our memorization is attracting and acquiring, and I underline acquiring a customer. And to acquire one, I found out, it really requires autoship. You gotta get some percentage of your people on autoship, or you're struggling every month to make sales. Or you have to go out and introduce it to a lot of new people. There's different ways to do it, but you got to keep that retail going. And Has anybody ever used that demo with the vitamins, holding them in a hand?
Hi, this is Karen, and I actually do that all the time. But I also have services to help people get better. So it just kind of falls in line with what I do. However, I want to also add that some people take a little bit longer to catch on to the concept. They need more time to mull it over. So we may not connect with them on anything that they're letting us know about. But that to me was just one of the questions I ask is, tell me what you're thinking so far, or what interests you the most right now. And if they come up with a non-answer, they make decisions a little bit longer. It takes them a little bit longer, or they're not interested, or they need to process some things. But we can always schedule another time to get together or follow up with them.
I like that. In other words, you're giving them another opportunity. Once you've got into part of the presentation, you're giving them opportunity for you to find that reason by asking a couple of questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
Another call that I've been on, the average time that it takes for somebody to say yes is about 5 get-togethers.
I didn't hear that. Say that again.
For a new customer or a new consultant to say yes, sometimes we will have to meet with them like around 5 times.
Before
they say yes. It's not always automatic. I've met with people who jump at the chance for a water bottle and insoles, and I never hear from them even when I follow up.
Right.
So,
that happened to me last month.
So everybody's different, and that's where we're listening and learning about people. And Marty talks about that in this lesson. That's where it comes in handy.
Larry, this may or may not be useful. It's either a 20 or a 30-minute demo of Dave Johnson's that he has on a YouTube. You could look at either on YouTube or Magnetic Leaders. I think it's called Doing the Business.
I've seen it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where he's there with a man and at his table, and in that amount of time, he starts with the Lindner brochure and starts talking about body burden, and then in his cute Dave style, well, hey, let's just try a couple of these, and he does some demos so the guy can feel it on himself, and then he magically comes, and on the front of that, right where there's a little empty space, then he draws Kiyosaki's quadrant, and now he turns it into, you know, a business opportunity, and he does all of that, like, in 20 minutes. That's pretty nice.
No, I've seen it. Yeah, it takes a lot of practice, but he's got some good points, yeah.
So, thank you, everyone that's given us some information, and I want to respect everyone's time, and those of us here on the East Coast, it's time to put the baby to bed pretty soon. But if there's anyone else that did not get a chance to share and they'd like to share, would you like to unmute and share now?
Thanks for facilitating.
Well, I want to... Thank you, Gary. You're welcome. My pleasure. I want to repeat one thing that Van said before we leave. And he would like us all to email our elevator speeches to him. And if you don't have his email, it's vsrogers995@gmail.com. And if you could do that before Tuesday of next week, before we do the next session, he would appreciate it. And I want to thank everyone for sharing tonight and jumping in, and I learned a lot, so I appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you very much.
Good job.
Thanks, everyone.
Happy Post Columbus Day. Have a great week. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Anybody know somebody that's looking for a gentleman roommate at San Antonio? Okay, have a good night.
Good night.